on heroes and love, or All Might gives the talk. Fandom, My Hero Academia. Rating, teen. Relationships, Aizawa Shota, Yagi Toshinori. And Midoriya Izuku, everyone. Also tagged for parental Yagi Toshinori, fluff, affection, romantic advice, and the talk. This is part 15 of the Bandages and Bravado series. Excuse me and good evening. I'm very sorry to intrude, but All Might? Toshinori would have turned at the sound of the sliding staff room door anyway, but Midoriya's meek voice nearly startled him to his feet. My boy! He exclaimed, hastily shuffling his papers and craning around to see the young man stranded in the doorway, slumped and tousle-haired, with his backpack dangling from one shoulder. The hallway was black as pitch behind him, since the automatic efficiency lights powered down hours ago. After last bell, the staff room was usually reserved for people like him, who planned their lives so poorly that they thought campus was an acceptable place to exist at 9 in the evening. He dearly hoped Midoriya was not already among that number while so young. "What on earth are you doing on campus so late?"
"I was studying in the library for tomorrow's ethics exam, and I fell asleep," Midoriya mumbled with piteous effort, scrubbing at his eyes with his knuckles and likely too exhausted to even feel the nasty scratch of the bandages that still encased both his hands.
"Ah, I see," All Might said, a little uselessly, but Midoriya apparently wasn't awake enough to even realize he'd spoken at all. Instead, the boy began to ramble under his breath, peering blearily into the corners of the staff room.
"I'm sorry. I know this is the teacher's lounge. I know I'm not a teacher. I didn't mean to bother you, sir. I just thought I'd left my jacket in here from earlier, so I didn't mean to..."
They had indeed met in the staff room briefly that day, and it was coming on summer, where so many students forgot their starched blazers rather than sweat beneath them. That apparently extended to students as diligent as Midoriya. But then, maybe he shouldn't have expected much more from a boy with such a perpetually stubby tie. Amusement vied with mild alarm in All Might's mind as he watched the discombobulated boy mutter on and on. It must have been a very solid nap. But Midoriya was also the type to skimp on sleep in favor of other things. Just like him. Looking back, Toshinori distinctly remembered him rebuttoning his jacket before running out and back to class. But when the boy's nonsense epic of an apology was curtailed by a huge, shuddering yawn that forced tears out of his eyes, All Might decided to intervene. "You can find it tomorrow, whatever it is. I know someone with a good finding quirk if all else fails," he promised with a chuckle, moving over and patting the couch next to him. When Midoriya just blinked at him, still motionless in the doorway, the veteran hero smiled and stood, ushering him onto the couch with a light hand. "Come now, you are too disoriented to be walking home, my boy. Why don't you take a little time to wake up, and then I can call you a cab?" Midoriya succumbed without a moment's hesitation, following his guiding hand. And Toshinori had to wonder at this new role he had found himself in, caretaking and providing in times of relative peace. The eerie quiet of the teacher's lounge instead of a smoking train car or the like. Perhaps he should have anticipated or striven for such a thing when choosing a profession centered around children and their growth. But more striking than the shift itself was the growing sense of ease of it. It was, of course, helped along by his mirroring bond with Aizawa, who was a relentlessly informative individual, even when he wasn't behind a podium. It wasn't a stretch to say Toshinori had the best instructor in care the city had to offer. He couldn't forget how it felt, just a few days prior, to be able to give Aizawa space to exist and recover. To absolve him momentarily, as much as he could, of burdens and anxiety by something as simple as offering a safe space to rest. It brought a whole new meaning to "I am here," even if it was just to guard the door and make coffee. And it was one Toshinori, All Might, felt he could honor. Midoriya flopped down on the threadbare couch, and Toshinori followed, giving the young man a gentle pat on the head before returning to his half-baked lecture. Penned around the edges were absent thoughts he'd had about the upcoming face-off for 1A finals, and he almost thought to hide them from the boy, but Midoriya was weaving in place where he sat and looked far more concerned with the tide of gravity than his teacher's boring papers. Toshinori worked on with a slight smile, keeping an eye on the digital clock and wondering if Midoriya had texted his mother to let her know of the nap situation. Even if he had never made her acquaintance, it was clear she was a very involved parent, and he was lucky to have her. She could be worried sick. It wouldn't be the first time Midoriya had disappeared from the proverbial map, and it would not be the last. Should he have Ms. Midoriya's number in that case? Oh, he almost shook his head at the thought alone. That would require a conversation that he was not at all prepared for.
All Might, if you're not busy, I was wondering...
As if in perfect tandem with his poorly cobbled-together lecture and his thoughts about uncomfortable conversations, he glanced over to find Midoriya looking slightly more awake but all the more grim, blinking down at his hands clasped between his knees. He made a sound to show he was listening, not nearly as nervous as he should have been, because while Midoriya tended to worry, he had not yet exhausted his repertoire of catchphrases to soothe that worry. But this was the king of nonsense, after all, and Toshinori was unprepared for this particular brand of nonsense paired with the doe eyes of his protege, peering up at him underneath that messy, motley bunch of curls.
How do heroes fall in love?
Toshinori jolted with an instant cough, biting his lip so only a bit of blood trickled over his chin. He bent and fished a handkerchief out of his voluminous suit jacket and dabbed his mouth clean, already wheezing out a laugh so his student wouldn't worry. It also bought him a few seconds to think up a response to that particular question, because hell. Oh, how do you mean, my boy? He managed, long fingers sifting anxiously through the wadded handkerchief. He spared a glance toward the door. I assume just like everyone else. We're human, after all.
No, I mean...
Midoriya was twisting his hands in his lap, his perpetually broken and bandaged hands, and Toshinori perhaps understood what he meant before he even spoke.
We're in danger all the time. That's our job. You don't really hear about heroes dating civilians because, well, maybe they don't understand. Maybe they can't.
It's a difficult thing to endure, I think, knowing a loved one is in danger. All Might agreed after a moment, nodding. Knowing that's what they've chosen to do, and what it may lead to. It went unspoken, but felt deafening nonetheless. The ultimate sacrifice. That one thing required of heroes when there was no other option, and a kind of social contract that balanced the liberties their profession had to take when civilians weren't even allowed to use their quirks without a license. Briefly, it struck Toshinori who he was telling this to, as if it were theory. The life he had sent Midoriya into, barely knowing how he would come to care for the boy. Day by day, fracture by sprain, The old hero labored under the vaguest wish of wanting to save Midoriya from his very gift, while knowing it was the only thing the child had ever really wanted. So he bit his tongue. Teaching a hero course, the sheer difficulty of battering young children until they could endure anything but defeat, had given him dark insights he could have done without. But then the thought hit him. Had Aizawa ever lost a student? He had been teaching for little under 4 years. Aizawa was so strict, so unforgiving, that he nearly expelled Midoriya on the first day of class for failing to perform to his standards. But his burden was also unspeakably heavy, warped with the realities of training heroes in a world where heroism itself was flippantly treated as an idle business instead of an ongoing life-or-death struggle. Did he scan the news daily with 3 years' worth of names on his mind, waiting to lose them on the wrong side of a crime scene, a police report? His wild decision to expel an entire class made a little more sense in that light, if only in terms of self-preservation.
So it's safest to be with another hero, then?
Midoriya's uncertain voice brought him back, and Toshinori cleared his throat, tapping his chin and trying to remember what they were talking about. That's a peculiar choice of words, young Midoriya. Two wrongs don't make a right, or so the saying goes.
I mean, yes, in a way it would be double the danger, but another hero would understand,
he amended, gesturing earnestly, laying out the facts as he so loved to. Our schedules are weird. There's always patrol, and some agencies are purely nocturnal by design. But together you could do more. You could even protect each other, help each other during fights.
I've seen many successful relationships in hero work, All Might admitted. It's not an impossible thing, even among our kind. Agencies often spring from such partnerships, and the more connections one has, the better we're able to cooperate and succeed. There is some criticism directed at paired partners and the potential loss of objectivity in dangerous situations, but I believe it's beneficial for the profession as a whole, not to mention the individuals.
As soon as he finished, Toshinori realized how dispassionate it all sounded for a review of love, and besides that, the arbitrary vote of possibility didn't seem to be what his young trainee was looking for. Midoriya was rocking furtively in place, lips thinned into whiteness from nerves, and Toshinori had to remember, this was a prohibitively timid 14-year-old boy with scant history of positive social interaction, now adrift in the soup of hormones that was UA, and finding himself a star for his simple grit and heart, and he nearly laughed. This was it. The day had arrived. And maybe it was the late hour, but Toshinori wasn't nearly as terror-struck as he thought he'd be. His mouth twitched. Shouldn't his father be having this conversation with him?
Do you have someone in mind, my boy? He asked, as calmly and offhandedly as possible, biting his cheek to keep from smiling.
Midoriya turned red as a strawberry, the impression strengthened by freckles standing in sharp relief on his round cheeks, and his dark mop of hair. He ducked his head, scrubbing fervently at his neck.
I don't know. I wouldn't know how to talk to them, or if they would even...
He trailed off miserably, biting his knuckle, and they sat for a little in silence, long enough that All Might began to drum his fingers on his knee, then stilled himself. He didn't want to telegraph any sort of impatience with Midoriya opening up to him, even if he seemed to need a little help on the way.
Let's not think about that just yet. What about you? He prompted with a smile. How do they make you feel?
It was exactly the wrong question, especially for a boy who was having trouble putting his emotions into words. Midoriya contracted, shoulders up to his ears, and emitted a sound so high-pitched as to be nearly inaudible to the human ear. Toshinori would not have been surprised if Nezu had run in, claws out, and demanded the source of it be expelled. He couldn't help but chuckle, light-headed from the sheer amount of feeling emanating from the boy next to him. Feeling was good. Feeling let you do things you thought impossible. And Midoriya had a lot of feelings. Toshinori patted him firmly, soothingly on the shoulder, until the excruciating sound abated, and they sat in thoughtful quiet a little longer. "To be honest, I think the key to relationships between heroes may not be the time in the field, but off it," Toshinori began quietly, more musing aloud than drawing from solid knowledge, but altogether too tired to worry about the difference. The isolated quiet of the staff room and the darkening windows was hypnotic, somehow, and it had been a long day. "If they can help you feel safe, even when you know the world isn't necessarily so, then you can better return to fight again. A hero as a life partner isn't someone to fight alongside, necessarily, but something to fight for. And that someone should make you feel like more than a hero, and offer some small fractal of the peace we all want." At the very least, he should have been prepared for the unwavering ardency of Midoriya's gaze. But it still shook Toshinori down to his oversized shoes and made him look away in a burst of nerves. The amount of trust and faith this boy had in him, like his word was law despite the fact he'd never actually had a romantic relationship to speak of in concrete terms. But no, he was determined, once again, to live up to his expectations in full. Plus ultra style. "If you've found anyone that makes you feel like that, well," All Might smiled and flashed a thumbs up, beaming. "It may be frightening to begin, but I'd say it would be worth a conversation with this unknown hero." Midoriya laughed self-consciously into his hand, blush subsiding. All Might felt just like that. All Might. Shining, bracing, reassuring, reliable. He had done an acceptable job with a difficult subject matter, and was well and ready to hang up his metaphorical mentor coat when Midoriya glanced up at him, biting his lip.
"You've never married anyone?"
Toshinori balked internally, more from the damnably relevant turn of the conversation than anything. Did Midoriya have to be so thorough? The all-or-nothing mindset of children, so young, always blindsided him. It reminded him he wasn't actually used to spending time with young people, and he still had a lot to learn about the way they thought and spoke. "I haven't," he answered honestly, then raised his sparse brows. "Wouldn't you have the newspaper clipping on your wall if I had?" Midoriya jumped in place and turned painfully red again, aghast, muttering a thousand apologies for his very nature. All Might just laughed and tousled his hair then, feeling immeasurably, achingly fond of the boy next to him, looped his arms around his widening shoulders and gave him a quick, reassuring squeeze, as if to say that his scrapbooking was of no harm to anyone. It was a spur-of-the-moment intimacy that Toshinori wasn't sure he'd earned, but Midoriya leaned into his side instantly, frozen with one hand gripping his suit jacket. He sat straight as a board, while thinking ridiculously loud, as if not knowing he was allowed such touch, or perhaps calculating which side his mentor's scar was on, or any number of ridiculous but overwhelmingly caring details. Toshinori surprised himself by decisively settling back into the couch and patting Midoriya on the head once more, before propping his papers up again against his crossed leg, content to sit in the silent lounge and work. Slowly, as his pen scratched across the paper, he felt Midoriya start to relax. It was astounding how much more at ease with touch he had become since joining UA. Had this cascade of physicality happened but 2 months earlier, he wouldn't have known what to do, and the sheer confidence he felt in that moment warmed him with its pleasant memory. Although, it was really no mystery. Being touched helped with touching others, even if it was just relearning the value of it, and the sense of worthiness that came with it.
"Do you have someone that helps you feel safe, then?"
came Midoriya's voice, small and sleepy, against his side. It was saturated with wonder, like if he could find someone like that, anyone could. The smile on Toshinori's face was instant, and the man's name was already on the tip of his tongue, bubbling up alongside the thoughts of touch and confidence and safety. Maybe he could blame it on that. "I'll admit, I don't know if Aizawa-sensei would approve," he murmured absently, his scrawling handwriting going blurry through his own smile.
Aizawa-sensei, what would...
As he trailed off, Midoriya's body stiffened against his side again. Pen stilling in the middle of marking out a sentence, Toshinori realized he'd made an awful, awful mistake. All Might looked down into a suddenly fraught silence. Over the folds of his enormous suit jacket, Midoriya's eyes bulged spookily. Lightning quick, before the inevitable outburst, Toshinori sorely regretted Midoriya's incredibly tactical mind and what it could do with just one errant sentence in one giant misunderstanding.
You and Aizawa-sensei are dating?
Midoriya shrieked, flinging himself away from his mentor and scrabbling to the far end of the worn staff room couch, face fairly blue with shock.
Oh, dating.
Yagi promptly dropped his clipboard and all the papers attached, waving his hands in a panic.
Dating? No! Oh my, that wasn't right. But then again, the truth was 10 times as scandalous. That his two instructors and hero mentors weren't actually dating, but having strictly non-committal sex? And a little something more?
No. He would give the boy nightmares and break his innocent dreams in one fell swoop by even alluding to such a thing. When seconds previous he'd asked if he had ever been married, Toshinori forced himself to straighten and pull at his collar, abruptly sweating.
No, no, dating, more like, I suppose we're becoming better friends. Or seeing each other outside of school hours?
He eked out, shoulders crawling up to his ears with every miserable word, and Midoriya wasn't fooled by such oblique phrasing. His eyes only grew wider.
Seeing each other? That's how old people say they're dating!
Midoriya, shonen!
He scolded gutturally, a little alarmed to feel blood rising at the back of his throat again, then smacked his palm over his face.
Different strategy. New smile. Distract, distract, distract. That's how Aizawa handled the children, didn't he?
Well, why don't we talk about your life, my boy? He began as mildly as possible, even as his deep voice creaked with the effort. Surely it's more interesting than two old men. But the fire of interlocking evidence was lit under his protege, who had clambered up on the arm of the couch and trained his thrice-broken finger on him, round, freckled face downright scandalized.
You're dating! I knew something was going on with you two. That's what Himawari was about. That's why you've been on campus all the time and helping with homeroom more and more.
Hey, hey, I teach too,
Toshinori found himself protesting, uncommonly sharp, then slapped his own red face. Again, and a little too enthusiastically. It stung, and he winced, suddenly horrendously overwhelmed and dizzy with all the heat and worry rushing his long body. He was not prepared for this. He was barely prepared to finish the lecture currently on the floor. But this? No one was supposed to know. And what was there to know besides?
Oh my, he said thickly, almost to himself. I'm only making things worse.
With Aizawa-sensei? Oh man, oh wow.
Toshinori grimaced and peeked out between his long fingers. Midoriya was now crouched on the armrest of the couch, with his knees tucked to his chest, green eyes wide. He was also rocking himself very slightly, and with such a dramatic reaction, Toshinori was forced to think about what it could mean for the boy. Two of his mentors, together? Would they be more attentive to him, or less? Was he young enough still that he had trust in adults to act like adults and put him first as a student, no matter what transpired? Interpersonal ramifications aside, it was obvious that there was no turning back at this point. Midoriya had deduced a version of their situation, and damage control was all that was left to him. So Toshinori grit his teeth and thought hard, scrambling for a prettier, cleaner version of a story that even he hadn't parsed into chronological, or just logical, order. Aizawa-sensei is... He seems cold and distant, but he feels a very real care and dedication towards those he protects. He is an honorable man, he sighed, rubbing the back of his neck sheepishly. I know it may not seem that way, to have such a strict teacher.
No, he's amazing!
Midoriya yelped, uncoiling from his crouch to punch at the air, and startling the veteran hero with the vehemence of his outburst. He's strong and smart and flexible and fast and with an incredible quirk, but he's also really, really frightening as a person. Toshinori reeled back as if slapped, hacking graphically into his handkerchief. Not untrue. So you told him how you felt? Midoriya pressed breathlessly, leaning in so far he was nearly sideways, eyes wide. You must have been so scared. What did you do? Before Toshinori could even clear his throat, his protege's mouth dropped open, and his hand hit the back of the couch. Entire body suddenly tensed and crackling underneath his immaculately pressed uniform. His face shone with a fierce grin. I know what you did, All Might! Faster than the eye could track, which was a less than appropriate use of All for One, the young man leapt from the couch and bounced off of him and onto the staff room coffee table, sneakered feet braced apart and fist raised high. You walked into his office and told him how you felt. With a smile, he crowed, eyes glittering. Below him, Toshinori just wrung his hands, but Midoriya was clearly no longer on the same planet anymore. One for All visibly fizzled across his limbs, and the old hero spared a gormless thought towards the welfare of the lounge furniture, as well as what kind of teacher he was if he was allowing children to jump on the tables at will. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do! Midoriya hopped back down to the ground with a triumphant laugh. The sound was sharp and sweet, and when the boy turned around, the joy and determination in his face pierced Toshinori's hesitant heart. I'm gonna tell my person how I feel about them with a smile. I'm gonna let them know I feel safe and great around them, and they make me want to be a better hero. No, a better person. The young man's words cut him in their eloquence, dazzling with youthful optimism. It was purely Midoriya, purely the Deku he had elevated from insult to moniker with nothing but hope and force of will. Jarred out of his fretful purgatory, Toshinori grit his teeth for what felt like the 100th time. Come on, you old fraud. Be half the man he thinks you are. Yes! He recovered and jumped up into a mirroring hero pose, his brittle body practically twanging from the sudden movement. He could feel the sweat slathering his face. That's exactly what you can and should do, my boy. It's only fitting for a hero to be brave in every area of life and take on fear with a smile. Midoriya's answering grin, fixed on him, was brighter than a sunbeam, and Yagi realized for a pristine moment how lucky anyone would be to have this boy smiling for them. He knew, once again, that he had made the right choice. There could be no other to carry One for All. Destiny may not have cradled him with kindness through most of his life, but he would thank her on bended knee for this young man and for this chance. Plus Ultra, right? Midoriya said gleefully, more laugh than word. Plus Ultra, he agreed, overcome. Chuckling, All Might reached forward with his bony fist, proudly and fashionably bumping knuckles with the best thing to happen to the future, who then proceeded to cry. Hey now, Toshinori pleaded, once again stunned by how many feelings the boy could possibly have and still be functional. Thank you, All Might, Midoriya choked out, shaking his head and wiping his eyes with that same blissful smile. Okay, it was just a little leak. Nothing to get worked up about. Toshinori sighed tensely and nodded, very ready to be left alone with his terrible lecture again if it meant fewer tears and no broken tables. All right, then. You run along now and make sure you do what you feel to be right. Trust yourself, he said, pulling his phone out of his pocket and opening one of the apps Yamada had shown him the previous week. The one that called taxis. He poked around in the menu, frowning. I'm calling you a cab to take you home, so get past the wall and wait for it, hmm? Oh, thank you, sir. I know you're working. I'm so sorry for bothering you. He waved off Midoriya's automatic formality and patted him on the back, watching fondly as he snatched up his backpack and ran to the door. Grasping the handle, Midoriya turned with a flushed face, fist once more triumphantly in the air.
I'm so glad you're in love. I'm going to be brave like you in every part of my life.
The door slid shut and closed him in, and for a moment everything was silent. Then Toshinori's shoulders began to shake, handkerchief already pressed to his mouth. In love? Oh my! Dropping back onto the couch, it was all the veteran hero could do to keep from falling over as he laughed and laughed until his sides hurt. Admittedly, his threshold was a little shorter than most, but the sudden eruption left him glowing and prickly warm. Exhausted, but satisfied, if a little perplexed. He caught his breath in little pieces, and wondered at the feeling. He certainly didn't have to worry about Midoriya's secrecy, so that wasn't the issue. Then he tried to imagine himself striding into 1A and dropping to one knee in front of Aizawa, and his brain fairly folded in on itself, more wet chuckles racking his chest. Oh my! There was something to it, though. That spirit of youth, of purity of feeling, that Midoriya always showed him and reminded him to put into practice. Toshinori remembered something Aizawa had said, what seemed to be years ago. What do I like? Honesty. Simplicity. A willingness to learn. And his cheeks colored. He put a finger to his chin in thought. Maybe he should be more forward with Aizawa? He didn't even know what that would mean, but to enjoy and appreciate someone meant that you felt safe with them, and they inspired you to be a better person. Aizawa challenged him, excited him, and he couldn't think of anyone he felt safer with. In a strictly platonic yet sexual way, of course. A very good friend in any case, and deserving of recognition and engagement. The almost instant stomachache of nerves told Toshinori that the math added up, and he pulled out his phone again, big hands dwarfing the little red box. There was already a message waiting for him, bouncing gently on his screen. Blank icon, committed to anonymity even in messaging services, he thought amusedly.
Have you eaten?
9:34, 20 minutes ago. Toshinori smiled and simply read it, then read it again. Aizawa seemed concerned about his eating habits, which admittedly weren't that of a normal person. Then again, his weren't either. He'd seen the man run out of breath while ordering at a bar, and demolish a course that would have fed 15. Perhaps his brain needed a lot of fuel, or he just forgot to eat for days and then made up for it all at once.
Yes.
Sending such a simple response somehow made his heart thump. His phone blipped again.
Okay, wanted ramen. Mike, too. Thank you, Aizawa-kun. I appreciate you checking.
A cat emoji, completely without context, popped up. Sometimes that's how their conversations ended. With a cat. An odd kind of punctuation, but nonetheless communicated that Aizawa had seen the message, and a face-to-face scenario would have translated into a grunt or wave of his hand. Toshinori moved to set his phone aside with an inexplicably tense sigh. Bing! His face lit up. Then fell.
Don't forget papers tomorrow.
Toshinori winced, looking over at the last few in his pile that he had been avoiding in favor of scraping together his next lecture over community support. Being a teacher wasn't very inspiring half the time, and Toshinori was sure his lack of eloquence carried over to grading, so he often resorted to stars and exclamation marks, or frowny faces, hoping Aizawa would sort them out later on the particulars. It would also be particularly hard to forget the papers if he was still on campus at this hour, but he wasn't one to volunteer that information to a man constantly scolding him to keep better hours. So he turned back to his phone, eager for distraction.
I won't. Get lots of rest and plus ultra tomorrow.
He hurriedly deleted the plus ultra reference, remembering Aizawa's strong feelings on the phrase. A little more? Something playful, yet sincere. A bit of a reach, even, like all those times he was certain Aizawa had reached to connect with him, despite his own misgivings or bad habits.
The next generation of heroes is in your hands, Eraserhead.
He read the text again, and piled on several explosion and fist emojis at the end, and pressed send, before he could change his mind. He smacked his phone face down on the table and sat back, breathing out sharply. His heart pounded, somewhere between sick and giddy, just sitting alone in the silent break room, listening to the mini-fridge ticking. But he wasn't getting attached. He was just having fun, right? There was no answer to that question, and there would be no answer to that particular text. In yet another lesson in intimacy, it appeared that appreciating someone didn't change who they were, or their favorite emojis, or their mistrust of emojis in general. But it improved you, your bravery, your spirit, your honor, as they gave you the chance to see who you could be with the best support possible. Any faint teenage disappointment about dropping communication would vanish as soon as Aizawa smirked at him as they passed in the hallway, and his heart pounded afresh, rattling his big hands on his lesson plan notebook and begging the most important question. They were just having fun, right? And yet, unfamiliar as the concept was to him in many ways, fun had never shaken Toshinori's body and mind so completely, or had him checking his phone so often he almost walked into an oncoming car. Fun had never been quite so addictive. Fun had never been quite so fun. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!
Oh no.
Ah, Alma, you idiot!